The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, folks. A few questions and inquiries around kind of the political moment, fear, love. Maybe start there. So it's a kind of very active question for me, and it's not something that I at all have a sense of, like, okay, this is how to do it. And certainly have no sense of that I know something that you must know and tell you how to do it. It's more a kind of living with the question of what's the appropriate response, and kind of what does love entail? And that question, what does love entail? What is love? What does it ask of me? What does it offer me? That's not a question we answer. That's a kind of koan that we live with. And it's heightened in this time, but that's not a question ever meant to be answered, because to answer it is to short circuit our ethical evolution. So I want to be balanced. I want to live a balanced life, but at the same time, I don't want to fetishize balance. And so maybe I begin by just saying that some of my moral heroes are not living balanced lives. They're like really going. And sometimes it almost looks like this bourgeois preoccupation for me to care about balance. And yeah, they burn out. That does happen. Or they become nihilistic, or they suffer a lot, or they fall off the horse and have to get back. That's true. They live impactful lives, and there's a lot to be said for that. But as Buddhist practitioners, it's like, okay, in a sense, where the path is founded on the sense that, like, it's possible to live a life of love and also take good care of our heart and stay balanced in some way. And given that, one of my impulses, like, if we're going to suffer, it better be for a good reason. It better be consolidating our love. It better be sponsoring our service. It better be moving us into engagement of some kind. If we're suffering and it just has a cyclical, spinny kind of feel, that's inefficient suffering. And I'm becoming more and more kind of suspicious about that. And sometimes it feels like, well, it's almost like a moral obligation. But we want to look, is it actually wholesome suffering? That's the question. This path is about not squandering pain. But we want to be sensitive. Is this a wholesome form of suffering? Or is this some kind of almost moralistic sense that I'm supposed to be suffering? And so we want to investigate. And I feel like we're just being called into a more radical form of compassion and equanimity. And it's like, okay, what is compassion? Compassion is like we have this sense that it's the medicine for suffering. And in some ways it is that. It's love in the face of suffering. It's the medicine for suffering, but it's not medicine whose efficacy we assume. In other words, we don't know. It's just love in the face of suffering. It's not the intolerance of suffering. And it's not some kind of frenzied insistence that it works. It's just love. And it's a love that wishes to alleviate suffering. But there's a certain way, and I sort of have glimpses of it in moments when it's almost like the compassion is run through with so much equanimity too. And that doesn't make the love less potent, but it just becomes like very, vast. And some of the layers of clinging and control that creep into the compassion is distilled out, refined out. That feels very different because a lot of my compassion, I feel like is entangled with some measure of control. Some way in which I'm at some level refusing the First Noble Truth. If I really got dukkha, maybe that's a question. If we really, really got dukkha, suffering, comprehend suffering, the Buddha says, if we got that deeply, what would that do to our compassion? I don't know. Said only arhats understand dukkha fully. But I get little in kind of intuitive hits on what that might be to really know suffering. And for that love to rise up. To try to meet the suffering that might be alleviated. And that entails a kind of refining our relationship with helplessness, which I've been talking about a lot, I feel like, for, I don't know, a couple of years, few years, maybe. That word helplessness, which sometimes is a kind of acts as a synonym for dukkha, for suffering. And can our heart remain open on the other side of our power? Or is love reserved for only times when it can be exercised? Is love reserved only for times when we can make some move? What happens when we can make no move? I want my heart to still be capable of something in those moments. And it connects to sense of mortality for me, which is like, okay, if I really understood Anicca, really understood that, what would my love look like? What would my rest look like? And sometimes I've said, that famous refrain from Ajahn Chah, this cup, which was not broken, is already broken, right? And And then goes on to say, when it does break, my heart won't break with it because I know it's already broken. Very beautiful, poetic way of expressing the depth of realization around a Nietzsche. And we trace that out and we might say, I'm already dead. Sounds like some kind of like macabre heavy metal refrain or something, but okay. Yeah. What does that do to our love? What does that do? Gets a little sober, but also wild. Nothing left to lose. And my love still feels constrained by fear in different ways, but I'm keeping a kind of relationship with that fear and this distorting effects. Not that we want to dismiss all fear or something like that, but sort of like my whole life, I've been just kind of like trying to listen, feel out a path, and I'm listening and feeling out like when it's time for the love to get more radical. And I feel like I've been saying that for a while. Maybe it's just cowardice keeping me in place. Don't know. But there's something brewing. Something brewing. It's kind of like mismatch between the architecture of our nervous system and this world. No. Just my nervous system doesn't feel like tolerant of loving in the way I wish to love, And caring about what warrants our care. We don't have to have answers. Just have good questions. For this, for your consideration. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all. Yeah. Appreciate. All that's in the chat. I'll take a look at that and maybe get inspired. I will actually prepare something next time. And yeah, wish you all well. I'm doing a day long for IRC on Saturday. If you want to come, you can drop in for a little bit or the whole thing if you like. Insight Retreat Center online. Okay, folks, you all be well. Talk to you sometime. See you somewhere on the Dharma campus.